Welcome to The Spiritual Rabbit Hole, a podcast with spiritual mediums Nicole, Kristen, and Glenda.
Join us as we tap into the spiritual realm, explore the mysteries of the universe, and guide you on a journey of self-discovery.
Get ready to open your mind and connect with something greater than yourself. Let's dive into The Spiritual Rabbit Hole.
Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
So we have a special episode today for you. We're going to help you understand indigo, crystal, and rainbow children. And we're also going to offer ways that you can help empower them.
Yes.
Yes. So you may have heard about indigo, crystal, and rainbow children and wondered if your child is one of them. Well, we are here to bring some clarity on the topic. So let's get started where the idea originated.
So if you know who Nancy Ann Tapp is, she is a parapsychologist who worked with children in the late 1960s. She was able to see people's auras. She recognized that when she interacted with children who stood out from society's norm expectations, they had an indigo colored aura. So she began to call them indigo child.
Yeah, indigo children. Yep.
Indigo children.
It's believed that there are many types of indigo children, and each kind is dependent on when they were born. Each generation is considered to be a little more intuitive than the last.
So there are different generations, like she said. So the first one that she identified is the Alpha generation. They were born between 1960 and 1970. Then there's the Beta generation, which is born from 1970 to 1980. And the Gamma generation, which is 1980 to 1990. That's me, right? Which ones are you guys?
I'm Beta.
Beta.
Beta!
So this is when the crystal children, a more developed indigo child, comes into picture with Delta generation from 1990 to 2000s. And the second one would be Omega generation from 2000s to 2010. And then the rainbow children are believed to be the most recent born is 2010 and onward.
Right. So let's start by describing some characteristics of the indigo children. So what makes an indigo child? Indigo children are believed to possess a strong sense of intuition and spirituality. Mm-hmm. They often connect deeply to the world around them and often challenge traditional authority.
These children are considered pioneers, paving the way for a more spiritually aware generation. This is the generation of warrior and fighter energy.
Yeah,
think about right. That that's for us, right?
That's right.
That's why we're saucy. Right.
I was gonna say, think about it. Yeah, we're rolling out the red carpet. We're like, come on, crystal kids.
Yeah,
we got you.
That's right.
You know, and this is it. Reminds me of the conversation. You know, Kristen and I were talking. I don't even know if it was on another. Yeah, it was on another podcast, right? Mm-hmm. Where you were asking, do you find it's common that people open up to their spiritual abilities later in life? And I said, well, I think it's dependent on the generation because, you know,
very right.
Us beta gals, or us beta children, indigo children, our parents were not allowed to talk so much about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that makes sense why maybe we came into it a little bit later. And then the other generations, like you said, come into it a little earlier because they have more open-minded parents.
Right. And it's more, it's not as taboo. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when we were growing up, at least me and G, you didn't talk about that, right?
No.
It wasn't, you kept it quiet. My mom even told me, don't tell anybody. They're going to put you in the nut house. So, of course, I'm like, okay, don't talk about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then as I got older, you know, late teen, early 20s, then there was like Sylvia Brown on Montel Williams. Mm-hmm. There was John Edward on Crossing Over, you know, James Von Prague. These people started coming out, but they were still very. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were still really ridiculed, though.
Yeah.
There was a lot of hate towards them.
I'm sure.
So you still didn't really want to, you know, talk about it. But then you think about, like, then there's Teresa Caputo came out in, what was that, like 2010, 2011?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now she's just starting another series. She's, like, back-to-back episodes for, like, ever. And then there's also, you know, Kim Russo and her shows. And, you know, there was the Psychic Kids, you know, series, obviously, with Chip Coffey and the other psychic mediums. So it's more commonplace. You got ghost hunters. So more and more people are familiar with and comfortable with the idea that there's spiritual entities existing in our world in some form or fashion.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we did it. We did it.
Yeah, it was all us.
You're welcome.
It was us three right here.
You're welcome.
It was just us. It was I'm saying we as in the indigo children.
Still.
You know, I identify as indigo.
Still. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. So another characteristic would be strong-willed and independent. Indigos resist conformity and value their independence.
Oh, yeah. I see that a lot.
Yeah. That's why I'm a cop.
You go against the grain. Go against the grain.
Yeah.
Like, no, I got it. I can take – well, I think that's partly Generation X, too.
Yeah.
Well. You know? We had to fend for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? But okay, yeah. I strongly see that. So – also, indigo children are intuitive and empathic. They often have heightened intuitive abilities and strong empathy towards others.
And a lot of them are creative and artistic. Indigos may express their spirituality through creativity like art, music, or writing.
Yeah, and they also question authority. They may question societal norms and authoritative figures to pursue deeper truth.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I went through RCIA, which is the Catholic adult catechism classes. You know, you learn Catholicism as an adult, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I was constantly, well, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's true. But what about this? And what about that? Yeah. And, you know, I think my teachers were so sick of me asking questions. They're like, yeah, everybody thinks that. Yeah, no, don't worry. It's okay. You could still be Catholic. And I was like, oh, can I really? No, apparently you're not supposed to question all those things. They were just telling me that to probably make me be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, constantly asking questions for sure.
Yeah.
So now let's discuss some characteristics that are a little bit different for crystal children, right? Mm-hmm. Crystal children, these are the more advanced intuitive generations, okay? Crystal children are characterized by their gentle and compassionate nature. And they're believed to be highly sensitive and attuned to the needs of others.
Crystal children bring a sense of love and harmony to their surroundings. They are the generation known for being gentle and compassionate. So this is our kids, right? Our older kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not my youngest, but our old. But
well, actually, all three of mine fall in that window of the crystal children. But I can – it's very prominent in my kids, I think. I mean, I could be very biased.
Mm-hmm. I think you have very sweet kids.
Yeah, I think they're really sweet. And they are, I think I had to, especially my oldest, I had to like teach him, you can't fix everybody's problems. You know, you can't, you just listening is plenty. You don't have to fix, you know, but he carries his heart on his sleeve, you know. Even my other two, they're always wanting to be there for their friends and the people they care about. And you have to make sure that they're taking care of themselves too at the same time. So it's beautiful that we've got this awesome generation of these little bleeding hearts, you know, but at the same time, we have to make sure that we equip them with the proper tools to maintain their own well-being.
Makes sense.
They're also highly sensitive. So crystal children are often sensitive to energy, emotions, and their environment.
So the crystal children generations are often natural healers. They may naturally be inclined towards healing and comforting others and usually go into career paths related to that.
They also have a deep connection to nature. Crystals often feel a profound connection to nature and the spiritual energy in natural surroundings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they also have nonverbal communication. They may communicate nonverbally, relying on telepathic or intuitive ways of expressing themselves.
You know, I see that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like give an example.
Kids will just look at me, you know, like in a certain way. And I'm like, what? And they're like, you know, pouting and their eyes look sad. And I'm like, what's going on? What happened? And they won't say anything. And I'm, you know, me, I'm such a talker. I'm like, what? What's happening?
Yeah,
what's
going on?
You should have said, use your words. Use your words.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I try that.
They don't.
And then
though.
They'll
Mine
go,
don't.
Nothing.
Oh, my God.
Nothing. And then I'll be like, okay, let me just go and hug you. Let me just hold you. Let me, you know. But yeah, it's, I see that a lot. Even you with know, like their friends. Even their friends.
Liam does that a lot. But I just realized he's actually more of a rainbow child because he was 12. So I was thinking he was a crystal child. But he's very much so with telepathic. He does the same thing. He stares at me.
Mm. Well, and keep in mind, like, right each through generation. Me. So like the crystal children have a lot of the same things, you know, because these are all indigo.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's just that each generation you add on these abilities, right? Because they're more evolved spiritually when they come into this world.
That so, makes sense.
Speaking of rainbow children, let's start discussing the characteristics of rainbow children. So rainbow children are believed to be the next evolutionary step in the human consciousness, and they radiate a vibrant energy and are considered to be highly spiritually advanced. Now, before we move on, I want to make a point that if you pay attention, a lot of these characteristics, disclaimer, I'm not a medical professional, a lot of these characteristics sound like signs of autism.
Yeah.
Nonverbal communication, very empathetic, very compassionate, like, you know, not the norm. And if you recognize that the diagnosis, even for adults, honestly, is increasing.
Yeah.
For a lot of these labels, and you guys can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes.
She's doing air quotes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And it is hard because, you know, they have to give labels to be able to get help if they need, you know, help with anything. So that's why the labels are there. But you're right. It's putting a label on something that's
misunderstood not valued, you know. It's funny because, you know, you watch all these TikToks or Instagram reels about like ADHD reels have been flying all over my Instagram now. Like, that's all I see. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, based on all of this, I've had ADHD my entire life.
Yeah.
And then and my husband goes, even if that were true, it's not like a less than factor. It's a greater than. This is a superpower.
Oh, yeah.
It's all about how you look at it. And I feel the same way about all these things, all these labels, is that I think sometimes when we're give ourselves a label or someone puts a label on us, it creates limiting beliefs and it blocks us from evolving. It blocks us from seeing the positive aspects of the positive value in not being like everybody else.
That is true. Although sometimes it can help. Like, I didn't understand that I probably would have been diagnosed with ADHD when I was a kid, but when we were young, they didn't do that as much.
No.
You know? Mm-hmm. But I did struggle at school, and when I read those things that, you know, talked about those symptoms, and to me it made me think, oh, I'm not stupid, because I always thought I was stupid.
Yeah.
Right.
Know? Oh, I used to say that
too. And then I realized, oh, no, it's just my brain works differently. Okay. Yeah. And that's okay. But then there's the other end where then you could say, oh, well, I'm ADHD. I just can't think that way, you know? So it's like double-edged sword.
Yeah. And I think it's important with any diagnosis in that kind of area that you allow yourself to be open to the concept that this is just a misunderstood because it's not commonplace.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
What were you saying too, G? You were saying something?
Oh, no. I agree with you that back when I was young, I used to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Being stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
I think a lot of us did.
I don't see that.
And I think to me, I'm thinking, okay, well, it's kind of comforting watching a lot of those reels going, oh, so I'm not the only one.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. There might be a reason. Because
there's so many times my husband will be like, we'll be talking about, I don't know, dinner, and we're talking about, I'm thinking I'm going to make salmon tonight, and he'll start talking about salmon and what we're going to have for dinner, and I'm totally drifting off, and 10 to 15 to 20 different points after that, mm-hmm. where I'm now talking about Disney World because salmon made me think of flounder. Flounder made me think of Ariel. Ariel made me think of when we took – or Disney World. And Ariel made me think of the time we took Keely and our boys to Disney World, and Ariel was her favorite princess. And, you know, like boom, 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 boom. Yeah. Like and then I'm like, hey, do you want to go back to Disney World? And he goes, where the hell did you get that from?
I do the same thing.
Talking about salmon for dinner. And I'm like, oh, well, wait, you know what? What are we talking about? Because
you didn't voice the steps to get to Disney World. The rest of it was in your head. You so you just blurred out Disney World.
And it happens. Like, what the hell? It happens.
Yes.
Like that. It's like, boom. And I'm like, how did I get there? And then to try to break it down, you have to go backwards, right? You're like, okay, I was thinking of this and I didn't, you know, but like there's always, and even like when I start to do a task, I was like, I thought and maybe this is just a mom thing. Hmm. You know, you're in the kitchen, yeah. you're like, oh, I got to do the dishes. So you start doing the dishes, but then you see there's like a soda can that needs to be rinsed out and put in recycling. So you put it in the recycling bin and then you realize the recycling bin needs to be empty.
Dishes after that.
Yes.
And then on the way to take the recycling bin out, you're like, oh, wait, there's dirty towels on the floor. I got to move the laundry. And then you move the laundry. And then you're like, wait a minute. There's like clean clothes that need to go up into my room. And I never finish one freaking task. Yeah,
that's how I am all the time. I can't finish anything. Well, for me, laundry doesn't even exist. Like if I don't literally see a laundry basket, it's like it doesn't even get my radar. I have to put out visual cues for myself to do tasks.
I can see the laundry basket with all the clothes folded in it and then become blind to it.
Oh, yeah. I do that, like, too.
I won't even see it anymore.
Yeah.
I won't even. And I wash the same load like 5 times before it actually gets to the dryer.
Right now, my husband does the laundry now.
You have what, G?
My dryer is full. Oh, it needs to come out still.
Hey, that's okay because it's at least dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? But back to what we were talking about.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I wonder, though, if people who have stronger spiritual abilities naturally, I'm wondering if because we're getting so much more information that it gives you more of – that's the ADHD part. You can't concentrate. You're getting so much and you don't know what to focus on.
Yeah,
and then you can be hyper. I was very hyper as a kid. Like my mom was like – We had to stop taking you to church because you dropped the whole metal thing in mass and it just
collection.
And then like all the money went everywhere. And she was like, you could not sit. She's like, you couldn't sit still. Like we just were like, oh, we're not doing this. Kristen. But I feel like they're more hyper. Like I was very hyper. I had a lot of energy that I had to get out. You guys know I have to be run.
Did you say I have to be run?
Like I have to do something because I think it's because you get so much more energy coming in that you can either it can make it hard to concentrate or it can make you very hyper because you have so much coming in.
One, I think that's how it's your body processes
that's
it.
That's how my body processes it, yes.
Right. So and I agree though what you were saying, like we're getting a lot of information all at once. And for me, when that happens, it gets me like motivated for ideas and creating stuff. And like, you know, like when you get downloads and everything and I'm like, okay, I can like super just work on – if I could lock myself in my office, I would have written and read all the books. If I would just lock myself in my office.
Yeah.
Right?
But because when you get distracted, you leave your office.
Yeah, it's like squirrel. But no. So anyway, okay, let's go back. We were talking about rainbow children, I think, right?
We are, yeah.
I think rainbow children bring joy and positivity to those around them. This is the generation that communicates telepathically and with love.
Yes. Pure and unconditional love. Rainbows often embody pure love and acceptance.
Yeah, I can totally see that. They're also natural manifestors. So they may be able to manifest their desires and create positive change. But at the same time as natural manifestors, they can also invite and create negative aspects.
Yeah.
So again, teaching them how to have the proper tools and manage their own well-being and their mindset is always a good idea.
And that could take you back to the previous episode where we talked about the gratitude jar and how that helps keep them in a good, positive space.
Absolutely.
Rainbow children are thought to have a global perspective, caring deeply about the well-being of the entire planet. And that makes a lot of sense too. Because my kids are way more environmental, have like more, or more conscious of the environment too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they started that when we were young, right? But not as much now. I think they're like
Captain Planet.
Ooh,
oh, that's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Captain Planet. He's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.
That's such a horrible, like, cheesy lyrics.
Right. It was great.
It worked.
It did.
What did they say when they raised their hands with their rings? Oh, and that was like a multicultural series too. Heart.
Yeah.
Everybody had a different ring.
Yeah. Well, they also serve as spiritual teachers, guiding others towards a more enlightened way of living.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you might notice, you know, those kids that just say really profound stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're like, where the hell did you get that? Like, how do you even know that kind of word? Or like, what? You haven't experienced life enough to know that this is something that needs to be said, mm-hmm. let alone how did you come up with that language, right?
Yeah.
My 5-year-old's starting to do that a lot. I'm like, where'd you get that from? Totally see,
mm-hmm. You know what, though? Your daughter also, there's times when she, like, when we were at your house a couple years ago, she just, like, when she looked at me, it felt like she was staring into my soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Liam does the same thing, Liam, like, big time.
He does.
Even more. He does. Yeah. See, that's that telepathic communication.
That's what he does. I swear he just looks at me and he, like, expects me to know, like, everything. I mean, sometimes I do, but other times, no.
Well, see, maybe you need to do some of these practices and things that we talked about in the last episode.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, as we've been talking about, empowering spiritually evolved children involves creating an environment that recognizes and nurtures their unique qualities, supports their personal growth, and helps them develop self-confidence and purpose. So here are some ways to empower these children.
So make sure that you acknowledge and validate their experiences. Yes. Listen to their perspectives, feelings, and experiences without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Validate their emotions and intuition and encourage them to trust their inner guidance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think there's a fine line, though. You know, you get nervous as a parent because you want to validate them, but you don't also want to encourage them to, like, make up stories.
Yes, that is such a fine line. So how would you handle that? Because I know your kids, you know, you had some of that when they were young. They would see things or whatever. And I'm kind of trying to figure out how to manage that with Kate because she's 5. And I know she feels things. I don't think she necessarily sees or doesn't realize if she sees, kind of like me. But she she doesn't like to be alone ever. And, you know, she's always like, you left me alone and I don't like to be alone. And, like, she feels nervous when she's alone. And so it's like, you don't want to put too much in their head, but you want to, like, validate what they've experienced so far. You know what I mean? Especially when they're young.
Yeah. I think the best way to do that is just listen.
Yeah.
And don't react to what they say.
That's the other thing. I try not to react. I'm like, okay, well, let's. You know.
Yeah, you can ask them, well, what was that like? How did that make you feel? Or what did it look like? Or how do you feel now? You know, you can ask questions that aren't leading.
Right.
But mostly listen. You know, and I think it's important that – because, you know, my daughter was the same way when she was Kate's age. Mm-hmm. She forever didn't want to go to the bathroom by herself because she saw – spirits in the – there's a little girl hiding behind the shower curtain, mommy, but she doesn't mean to scare me, but it's still scary. But I'm not going to let my really – you know, she was like 2 or 3 when that happened. And I'm, you know, I'm not going to tell her, no, you have to go in the bathroom by yourself with the scary little girl hiding behind the curtain.
Right. Yeah.
So it was all about, like, empowering them in all these different ways. When – and for me, when I was told by siblings or my mom, because they didn't understand and they didn't know what I was experiencing, you're just making it up. That's not real. Right. You start to question everything.
Yeah.
Like, am I making this up? is everything my imagination? And then you question, or is none of it my imagination and all of it real? So then you doubt, when you doubt yourself at any age, it creates fear. It creates
more of fear, and then that would create less of a boundary. Like, you wouldn't be power, have power to set boundaries.
You feel out of control. Yes. You feel like you have no control because you don't trust your own perceptions.
Right.
So when you don't trust your own judgment, you don't trust your own intuition, you don't trust what you're perceiving, you feel like you have no control over anything. So by acknowledging and validating what your children are experiencing, or even if you're doing this for yourself or a friend, you know, just listening and asking, how did that make you feel? What did that look like? What do you, you know, like non-leading questions, but interested in what they have to say without influencing what their answer is going to be. That makes them feel like, oh my gosh, okay, I can talk about this. I can express this, which makes them feel more in control. And the more in control that we feel and our children feel when they're experiencing this, the more empowered they are. The more they recognize, okay, I'm seeing this. So this is a reminder to me. I can say, you can get out of my space.
Yeah, see, that's different though, because she doesn't say she sees anything. She feels it.
She feels it. She can say same thing. You can say, I'm feeling uncomfortable. I'm going to ask whatever, like God or guides or angels or my own energy to push away the energy or the feeling I don't like.
Right. And see, that's where with her, I was like, how much do I say, you know, to make, because I don't want her to be afraid of something being there when that's not quite what she's putting together. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you could say, so you could say it's like a color. So you can ask Kate, you know, when you're happy, what color is the happy?
Yeah.
And she might say yellow, you know, because a lot of people think yellow because sun and sun is happy and things like that. So you can say, when you're feeling nervous, picture yellow inside of you growing and pushing out beyond you.
Because she's all about some pink.
There you go. And let her, and let pink be like, pink is power, pink is love, pink is happiness. Yeah. And recognize that. And let's picture pink filling us up and pink pushing out, you know, and then that she has control.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We've kind of done a little bit. So that's good. That's kind of on the lines of what we've already done. And then we talked a little bit about a guardian angel. Like, let's imagine, what would she look like, you know? She's like, she'd have rainbow hair and rainbow eyelashes and rainbow eyebrows and rainbow blush. I was like, great.
And that would be a great, like, coloring activity or drawing activity that she could do, like we talked about in the last episode. Yeah. And it validates and lets her, because we do that with our guides, right? What does your guide look like? Because you don't feel you can really communicate with your guide unless you know their name or you know what they look like or you know what the, you know, their personality is. So when you personify an energy,
right?
It, you feel like you can really have that connection, because us as humans, that's how we think of a connection, is with another person.
They have to have that faith. Well, then that makes sense, because spirit, what is spirit really? Just energy.
Right.
Yeah. So we are always getting a face for them, you know? It's either what they project or what we, what our minds are trying to piece together of what that energy is.
Right. And we're familiar with communicating with faces, with people.
Right.
So we're going to be shifting what we're perceiving into something we're comfortable with.
Right.
And if Kate is comfortable with rainbow lashes, rainbow makeup, rainbow hair, guardian angel, bring it, man.
Yeah.
You know, draw a picture of your rainbow guardian angel and hang it up by your door or by your wherever it feels scary and know that she's there. Every time you look at that picture, you're asking her to come. Or you hanging up the picture, you're making sure she's present here. She's keeping that space safe.
Yeah, that's good. Because I said, you know, anytime you feel nervous, just imagine your rainbow guardian angel sitting there with you or whatever.
Right.
So
perfect.
I'll have her draw. See, this is all learning for all of us.
Yeah, it is. Oh, speaking of which, you can provide opportunities for creating expressions through art, music, writing, or other forms of self-expression. So please encourage them to explore their interests and passions freely.
Yes. Because, you know, sometimes people, often think if they have spiritual abilities or they're sensitive to spiritual energies that they have to do like what we do, mm-hmm. become like right. energy healers, light workers, mediums, psychics, whatever.
Yeah.
Guess what? Most people don't.
Yeah, you know.
Most right. people are artists. Most are musicians. Most mm-hmm. are yeah. writers, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you won't believe. Who knows? Harry Potter, the whole idea behind Harry Potter, practical magic.
Could you have know, been I'm, channeled.
I'm pulling magical stories. Yeah. right. It could totally be channeled stories mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. that came through from a vivid dream or something like that, you know? Because that's yep. where Twilight came from, was a vivid dream.
Is it?
Yeah. Mm. It was Stephanie Meyer had a dream of her laying in a field with somebody, a guy that was all sparkly. You know, there's a scene in Twilight where they're laying in the meadow or whatever. And she felt so in love with that person. And that's when he told her about the diamond sparkly.
Oh, yeah.
The real reason, blah, blah, blah. That was her dream. And the whole story was built off of that dream.
See, I never watched it. I was about to ask if she got down with a good-looking vampire in her dream, if that's where it came from.
Okay, you won't appreciate the movies because they're so cheesy, especially the first couple, unless yeah. you read the books. The books yeah. are way better than the movies, but when you see the movie, it kind of like just enhances it a yeah, little bit it does. More. Yeah.
Okay. I've never read the Team books Alice. Or the movies. I'm like Team Harry Potter. What'd you say, G?
I said Team Alice.
Oh. That's not even a team, but I hear you.
That is a team.
You. Is everyone it? Who's the other one?
Team Jacob and team. Who's the other guy?
Edward.
Edward.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Edward. There you go. Yeah, Edward.
Yeah, Team Alice. She's not even like a competitive lover.
It is for G. That's G.
For me.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Man.
Okay. Wait, how did we start talking about Twilight?
We have no idea.
Spiritual Stories. Rabbit hole.
It was from the start Channeling. From Harry Potter.
Yeah, okay.
Ooh,
yeah.
Team Harry or Team Ron?
Hermione. What is it? What's her name? How did I say her name?
Hermione.
What? Say Hermione?
I don't know how to say her name. Her name is hard.
I'm a Harry Potter nerd.
Hermione.
Well, that's how you. Yeah, that's how you'd read it.
Hermione.
That's Hermione.
It's just another version of Star Wars.
Yeah, it is yeah, very close. It's
so true.
They're all good though. But see, all of these could be channeled. You know, especially Star Wars. I mean, the Force.
Yeah.
The whole idea of the Force.
Yeah.
No joke, right? It's kind of so like Twilight, spiritual. You know.
Yeah.
Bella had the Force. She had a shielding.
She did.
See, I got to
She could push out her it. Energy.
She did.
She would push out her energy.
Protector. She's
and protect.
Protector. Yeah.
Protect all Ooh. The people that were within her protective bubble.
Yeah.
Oh, now I do have to watch this.
Now you got to watch it. I think it might be on Prime or Netflix or something. I mean, it's kind of an old movie now. Now I want to rewatch it. Okay, anyway, going back to what we're talking about. So, again, we're discussing how to empower spiritually inclined children. So we want to make sure we support their spiritual growth. If spirituality is important to your family, provide opportunities for spiritual exploration and growth that align with your values. Mm-hmm. Encourage mindfulness practices, meditation, or connection with nature. Whatever resonates for you and your family.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Promote emotional intelligence. Teach them emotional awareness and regulation skills. Help them understand and express their emotions in healthy ways and model empathy and compassion in your interactions with others. I feel Absolutely. Like we need to underline or put an asterisk next to model empathy and compassion mm-hmm. because if you do not do that, that apple will not fall far from that tree.
They watch us. They don't listen.
Yes.
True.
They're more likely to copy what they see than absorb what they hear. And mm-hmm. I think it's really important for the emotional awareness and regulation because with spiritual abilities, so much of it is emotion-based. Like, yep. I don't care what your clair is. Mm-hmm. What are you feeling when you receive that message?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. because that plays just as much a role as the thing you're seeing, the thing you're hearing, the thing you're feeling, physical sensations. You need to pay attention to what you are feeling in that experience, because that plays just as much a role as mm-hmm. the other senses, and it affects every single clair.
Yep. I concur.
Another would be foster critical thinking. Encourage them to question, explore, and think critically about the world around them. Teach them to evaluate information independently and form their own opinions based on evidence and reasoning.
Yes. Because if you never question what you're taught, you're just doing what somebody else is telling you to do.
You're just following.
You don't follow anyone blindly. Like, even us.
Yeah. I was going to say, that includes us.
Yeah.
Listen to us. Take what resonates. If you don't believe something we're sharing, don't worry about it. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. The three of us don't believe in everything that the other two believe in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that it opens the door to opportunity for more learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you... Again, it's limiting beliefs. If you say, nope, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, you're never really allowing yourself to expand and evolve.
Yep.
Yeah. So
I think that's very important.
Just practice. Always keeping that open mind and the possibility of things.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So another important thing to do to empower your children is provide positive role models. Surround them with positive role models who embody the qualities and values that you want to instill in them. This can include family members, mentors, friends, community leaders who inspire and uplift them.
Yes. And that's the same, you know, for adults when you are on your spiritual journey, how we always say, surround yourself with positive people.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And sometimes the universe will do it for you.
Yeah. Yep.
They'll force you to let go of people that you've held on for so long, mm-hmm. but you have, and I hate to say outgrown, but really that's the best way to say it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't make the people that don't continue on the path with you bad or less than. It just means it's not their time to step forward and move forward on their own journey. And that's okay. So it's really beneficial to be around the people that you want to be like, or that you have common goals with, or that inspire you to move into the direction that you wish to go in.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when you have your kids, you want them to be surrounded with those kind of people as well. So,
right.
So it's important to create a supportive environment. Foster a supportive and loving home environment where they feel safe expressing their thoughts and feelings openly. Encourage open communication and respect boundaries.
Yes.
And recognize and celebrate the accomplishments, big or small. Encourage a growth mindset by focusing on efforts and progress rather than just outcomes.
Absolutely. It's one of those things, like, this is what I even say to clients. Don't expect to go from 0 to 600.
Yeah.
Be proud for you just taking one step forward, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, yeah.
So when it comes to empowering your kids, you also want to help them develop resilience by teaching them problem-solving skills, coping strategies, and the ability to bounce back from setbacks. Encourage a positive attitude towards challenges and opportunities for growth. So say that they're doing well with managing and regulating and understanding their emotions and even not being so fearful or worried about certain situations. You know, even if they fall back and regress a little bit, don't give them a hard time about that. Just mm-hmm. say, you've been doing really good for so long. We know you can do well again. So mm-hmm. I'm not worried about it. You're capable. So we know you can do it. If you need a little rest from this, that's fine. And then mm-hmm. we'll move forward again when you're ready.
Yeah. And it's important that, you know, everyone has a setback sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, just understanding that. And it's okay.
Yeah.
You can.
It is okay.
Move forward from here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also important to promote social connections. So encouraging your children to build meaningful connections with peers who accept and appreciate them for who they are. And that is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, when you have kids in middle and high school, it's like sometimes they'll try to reach for that kid that's not very nice to them, or, you know, and it's like you want to put time and effort more so into people who appreciate who you are and are not going to, you know, break you down and all that stuff. So that's so important. It also helps to provide opportunities for social interaction and collaboration that align with their interests and values.
Yes.
So finding like a social group that are into the things that your children are into. Or if you can find a social group, there are social groups or you know, spiritual growth classes for kids. Like I've seen them.
Yeah.
You just have to find them, but they exist.
Well, there's even like yoga for kids, yoga mindfulness for kids. Classes for kids, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also foster a sense of social responsibility by encouraging them to contribute to their community and positively impact the world. Teach them the importance of kindness, empathy, and helping others in need.
Yes.
You know, teaching them empathy is really important. You know, even when my kids are dealing with like a bully, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. I try to say, you know, we don't know what's going on at their home. They may be hurting. They may be blah, blah, blah. Now, it's not okay with how they're treating you still, and you still need to get, you know, make a boundary or stay away from them or whatever, stick up for yourself. Mm-hmm. But understanding that they may be having a terrible time that we don't know about. And oftentimes that's very true.
Right.
Yeah.
So trying to at least get them to understand where the behavior might be coming from doesn't make it okay, but just so that they can have a little bit of compassion for that person and still keep their distance.
Yeah. So now time for a little bit disclaimer. It's important that we note that these categories, you know, the indigo, crystal, and rainbow children are more metaphysical concepts, mm-hmm. and they're not universally accepted or scientifically validated. The traits associated with each group are generalizations and may not apply to every individual within each category.
Yes, and it's crucial to remember that labels like indigo, crystal, and rainbow children provide interesting insights but don't define or limit your child, just like we were talking about other labels, right?
Yeah,
right.
Parenting is diverse and no label captures the whole essence of a child's potential.
Yes, preach!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so take what resonates with you and leave the rest. Embrace your child's uniqueness without confining them to labels. Parenting is a journey of discovery. So trust your instincts and enjoy the ride.
So we hope that this episode about indigo, crystal, and rainbow children help you have a better understanding of what maybe you might expect from a child that has spiritual abilities or just children in general. We hope that the practices and insights that we shared with you for helping to empower them are going to help you and your child, if you decide to use those mindsets and concepts, wonderful. If you want to share those with us, we'd love to hear about it.
Thanks so much for joining us for our final episode in our 3-part series about psychic kids. If you missed the last episode, listen, because we discussed so much things. We gave intuitive exercises and activities that you need to try, and let us know on our Facebook group.
In our next episode, we are going to be discussing chakras.
Ooh.
Ooh. I don't know why I did that. It's not like they're ghosts.
No.
Chakras are energy centers, and we'll tell you more about them in the next episode. So don't forget to tune in.
Okay, so time for the boring legal stuff.
Wah, wah, wah.
We are not medical professionals. And that's very true. This is important to say. If you are concerned for your child's mental well-being or your own, please seek out professional help. Always do that.
Thank you for joining us today at the Spiritual Rabbit Hole. Remember, your time with us doesn't have to end here.
Subscribe to our soulonavoyage.com website for more spiritual resources and services. And remember, our Soul on a Voyage Facebook group.
So stay updated on all we have to offer by following us on Instagram at Soul on a Voyage. Thanks for being part of our spiritual community. Peace out.
Love ya.
Bye for now.